Your word would be a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. We may hide it in our heart that we may not sin against you. The Lord was just speaking to me today in Hebrews chapter 6. Just one of those times you spend with him, he just tells you where to go. And I like those times, don't you? He just kind of tells you where to turn. You go there and he just ministers. And other times you're just kind of wandering around. You're just kind of eating in the pasture, right? Just kind of nibbling on the grass as you go. Other times he'll call you over and speak something. But I'm going to read to you this, and then I'm going to, which I rarely do, there's a word on the Elijah list today that I think is for a lot of us. I know it's for me, but I felt like today to read it because there's some people here that was a promise from the Lord too. So in Hebrews chapter 6, he's just recalling, reminding one of my favorite verses. Beloved, we're convinced of better things concerning you, things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. So there's always better things, right? And I love how Paul was reminding these guys, hey, there's better things. We're moving on from the elementary things, and there's always better things concerning you, right? For God is not unjust, and forget your work and love which you've shown toward his name, in having ministered and still ministering to the saints. And so this word is kind of toward those who have been in, you know, been doing the stuff, may have been a little discouraged, and he's saying, hey, there's better things for you. Hang in there, right? Kind of work. We desire that each one of you show the same diligence. Y'all have heard me teach about this before. And this word diligence, just quickly obey. You know, get back on track. We talked about that the other day. So as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. And that word, full assurance is to fully carry through. Like, you have this hope, and so we want to fully carry this thing through all the way into the end, right? All the way until this thing is fulfilled in your life, okay? So, and his call was for them to be diligent, so that you may not be sluggish. We've talked about this before. The word sluggish is a word dull, like a blade has become dull, right? So that you may not be dull, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises or enjoy the enlightenment. So the word is, God wants us to fully enjoy a word or promise he's given you. And evidently with their promises, they had become a little dull in it. They kind of weren't diligent in seeking that anymore, praying it out. Because, you know, when the Lord speaks some things to us, if he gives you a word or a promise, you know, and then now that word or promise is in your hands, lack of better words, then you have a responsibility with that word, right? Faith and patience. Through faith and patience, you'll inherit the promises. So you got to carry this thing out through faith and then patience, which we talked about. That word used is long-suffering, doing something without, where there's no anger involved, okay? Through faith and patience, you'll inherit the promise. Okay, stuff we hear all the time, we know. But when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. And again, this word obtained, I really like this word because it's a word who has is kind of several meanings kind of put together here. One of them, it means far feeling. It means that your feelings are far away from it, right? The second one is you just happen upon it, okay? When your feelings are far removed, and you just happen upon this promise that God has for you, okay? As you're going, just in your day, all of a sudden, you'll happen upon what God has said. And your feelings may be far away. I really like that word. Far feeling. Feelings are, in other words, guys, we know this, your feelings have absolutely nothing to do with God's promises are walking in faith. Okay? Good thing, right? That's an encouragement to me. I don't know about y'all. Far feeling, and then all of a sudden, you happen upon it. Because in faith and patience, you've been waiting. Okay? And we know that. So I thought that was really cool to share. For men swear by one greater than themselves, with them an oath is given as confirmation to an end to every dispute. But in the same way, God, desiring even more to show the heirs of the promise, which is us, the unchangeableness of his purpose, he interposed with an oath, that by two unchangeable things, which it is absolutely impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge may have strong encouragement to take hold of this hope set before us. And this hope we have is an anchor of the soul. We use that's a refrigerator verse. The hope, both sure and steadfast, which enters within the veil. So we know that hope is that confident expectation that we have from the Lord. But two things here that we need to be reminded of about God's promises, and he wants to really get that. One is when God promises something, he swears by himself. Okay? It means he's the guarantor of the oath. And it's unchangeable. Once he says it, it's unchangeable. Two, he doesn't lie. Okay? And we've all had people in our lives, you know, maybe growing up or whatever, that may have told us some things just because, you know, they want us to hush. Or we may have had people who are very close to us just told us things and they lied about it. You see what I mean? And the Lord knows that. So he wants us to get this in us, that every promise he makes to you is based on his character and that he spoke it. And he's going to keep that oath. Just like with Abraham. He said, I will bless you. Not I might, or maybe. We'll see. I will. And I'm not lying. I'm not a liar. I fulfill my word. Okay. The enemy will tell us that God is a liar. Or that we missed it. Or that, you know. All kind of stuff, right? Okay. So for each one of you, there's promises that God has given you, right? And that promise represents a hope. And it anchors your soul. It's sure and steadfast. Okay? And if you become dull within that word, then he says, then sharpen it. Let's sharpen it. Okay? Because I want you to get ready for that word in your life to be fulfilled. Okay? I want you to have a confident expectation. Live as though, and you know, we always hear act like it is so. Even when it isn't so, in order for it to be so, because he said it's so. Right. Now I'm going to read this word. There's kind of four things here. This lady in California had this word. And again, I just think this, I don't know it's for me, but this, I think this is for you too. One, God is setting wrong things right. You waited a long time for your breakthrough in that situation, in that relationship. You cried, you've forgiven, you begged, you refused to hate. You prayed, you fasted, you've shown kindness. Even, this is not for everybody, but even if you've been mistreated in that, yet you were determined with a clean heart. And so he's righting things wrong for you, okay? He's setting things wrong that are setting them right. Okay, that's the first one. Two, he's making crooked things straight. He's making crooked things straight. And there he talks about there were some wrong paths, wrong decisions. Maybe people have wronged you, and that's where she started. There may have been some wrong path or wrong decision that you made. Okay? And he's making crooked things straight for you. Okay? He's restoring, but with an exclamation point, and she said this, I heard these words reinstated and restored. Dictionary.com breaks down the word restore as being brought back, put back, given back. You're being brought back into your excellent condition. You're being restored to your rank. You're even being given back what was stolen. You're being repaired and renovated in such a way that makes a clear statement to your doubters, mockers, and enemies, you're being reinstated and honor's been returned to you. And he will pay you back double. That's just how God does it, right? He'll pay you back double. For many of you who obeyed the Lord and did not deviate even under pressure, you stayed in his assignment, all that he's called you to. There's double honor for your shame. Anything you experience shame, there's double honor for that. Double possessions for what was stolen. A double portion of anointing. And twice as much as before. Job's wife encouraged him to curse God in the time of his trouble. He did not. He remained faithful, steadfast. And how did God repay him? Of course, we know at the end of his life, he restored double to him. So wherever that word, I really felt like that was a real strong word for a lot of people in the body of Christ, you know. And there's words on there every day. You know, I read them. Sometimes they're like, yay. Sometimes they're like, yeah, doesn't really apply. And sometimes you know, wow, this, you know, or the portions of it that apply to you, right? But I really believe that was a real strong prophetic word for us here and for some of y'all that you need to hear that, of God's restoration, setting things right, okay? And he wants to really do that for you. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.